Reading from Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, Adi Lila, Chapter 4, Text 105. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Swarup Gosai is the most intimate associate of the Lord. He therefore knows all these topics well. Purport. Prior to the Lord's acceptance of the renounced order, Purushottam Bhattacharya, a resident of Navadvip, desired to enter the renounced order of life. Therefore, he left home and went to Banaras, where he accepted the position of Brahmacharya from a Mayavadi sannyasi. When he became a Brahmachari, he was given the name Sri Damodar Swarup. He left Banaras shortly after without taking sannyas and he came to Neelachal, Jagannath Puri, where Lord Chaitanya was staying. He met Chaitanya Mahaprabhu there and dedicated his life for the service of the Lord. He became Lord Chaitanya's secretary and constant companion. He used to enhance the pleasure potency of the Lord by singing appropriate songs, which were very much appreciated. Swarup Damodar could understand the secret mission of Lord Chaitanya, and it was by his grace only that all the devotees of Lord Chaitanya could know the real purpose of the Lord. Swarup Damodar has been identified as Lalita Devi, the second expansion of Radharani. However, the authoritative Gaura Ganodesha Deepika of Kavi Karnapur describes Swarup Damodar as the same Vishakha Devi who serves the Lord in Goloka Vrindavana. Therefore, it is to be understood that Sri Swarup Damodar is a direct expansion of Radharani who helps the Lord experience the attitude of Radharani. Om Jnana Timirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Mano Bhishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadam Mahyam Dadati Svapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yutapadakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunathan Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadhutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padang Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakhan Vitamscha Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Preshthaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swamin Nitinamine Namaste Saraswate Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatya Deshatarine Vancha Kalpatarubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhya Evacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shiva Sadi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna. Today is the celebrated Rath Yatra in Jagannath Puri. It is also the disappearance day anniversary of Sri Swarup Damodar and also Sri Shivananda Sen. So I have been requested to speak on the latter two topics. We have already heard about Rath Yatra festival during the London Rath Yatra festival time. So we'll speak about these two great associates of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Inasmuch as it is important for us to hear the glories of the Supreme Lord, it is equally important to also hear the glories of His intimate associates, because the two are inseparable. The Lord is incomplete without His devotees. Therefore, hearing about the associates of the Lord is very vital and very nourishing to our devotional kripa. The Supreme Personality of Godhead advents in this world from time to time in his different incarnations. Sometimes, very rarely, he comes in his original form in Vrindavan, and in the Kali Yuga following that advent, he comes as Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Both Krishna and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu are avatari, which means they are the original forms of Godhead, from whom all the other forms expand or emanate. So when these personalities descend into the world, they are accompanied by their associates from Goloka Vrindavan or from Navadvip, as the case may be. Because the Lord cannot perform pastimes alone. He wants his devotees with him. So in the entourage of the Lord, when he performs his pastimes in the material world, he has, first of all, his eternal associates who descend from the spiritual world, and he also has some associates who have been promoted to the status of being participating in his pastimes here in the material world after having performed devotional service for many, many lifetimes. But particularly those devotees who are his eternal associates, who have descended from the spiritual world to participate in his pastimes here, they are of special importance and we need to know about them. In Swarup Damodar Goswami we have, as this verse mentions, the most intimate associate of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Swarupa Gosai Prabhur Ati Antaranga. Why is he the most intimate? For many reasons, as we'll see in the course of this discussion today. For one thing, as is mentioned in this verse, he knew many topics about Chaitanya Mahaprabhu that others did not know. This verse, verse 105, is a continuation in a series of verses that describes the reasons for Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's advent into this material world. There are external reasons for Mahaprabhu's advent and also internal reasons. The external reasons are, for example, to inaugurate and establish the Yuga Dharma, the congregational chanting of the holy name, etc. But there were also confidential internal reasons for the Lord's advent. The external reasons were confidential, but relatively easy for everyone to know. But the internal reasons for the Lord's advent were not known to anyone. The internal reasons were connected to Krishna wanting to relish the love and the happiness that Srimati Radharani felt in her service and devotion to Krishna. So Krishna was fascinated by this, was very intrigued, and in fact he was hankering to understand what it is that Srimati Radharani feels. So he took on the form of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Now this fact was not known to anyone except Srila Swarup Damodar Goswami. And it is he who actually broadcast it to the world. So thanks to Swarup Damodar, we understand today the internal reasons for the appearance of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And these internal reasons are even more important than the external reasons for the Lord's advent. They actually embody the very purpose for Mahaprabhu's coming here. A purpose that is very, very dear to the heart of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So in explaining the internal reasons for the advent of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Swarup Damodar becomes a via medium to give very confidential information about Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's pastimes in Jagannath Puri. He did explain the internal reasons, but also he explained many, many pastimes of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in Jagannath Puri, especially in his later days, in his later years of the pastime in Jagannath Puri, which others did not record. You see, the earlier pastimes of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had been recorded by one of his associates, very intimate associates, called Murari Gupta. And these notes were called kadachas in the local Bengali language there. So these notes were written by Murari Gupta in the form of verses. So Sri Vrindavan Das Thakur got hold of these notes, and these notes, Srila Bhakti Vinod Thakur says, are still existing. So based on these notes, we have today an understanding of the Adi Leela of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the pastimes of Mahaprabhu for the first 24 years, till he took sannyas, when he was in Navadvip. So Murari Gupta, being his constant companion and associate in the time of the Adi Leela, he was able to witness and also hear about most of these, or all of these pastimes. And he recorded many of them in the form of certain verses. And they are available today. Vrindavan Das Thakur got that in great detail, and he composed his Chaitanya Bhagavat. What was not mentioned by Vrindavan Das Thakur and Chaitanya Bhagavat with respect to the Adi Leela was also mentioned by Srila Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami in his Chaitanya Charitamrita. He repeated in brief some pastimes that had already been described in the Bhagavat, Chaitanya Bhagavat. But there were many other pastimes which Murari Gupta had not been able to narrate in the Chaitanya Bhagavat. Vrindavan Das Thakur, I beg your pardon, had not been able to narrate in the Chaitanya Bhagavat. For what reason? Because the narration of these pastimes had become too voluminous. Vrindavan Das Thakur, being an associate of Nityananda Prabhu, had gone on to glorify Nityananda Prabhu to such an extent that he realized, oh my God, it's too late now. The book has become too voluminous. So then he didn't describe in detail the later pastimes of Mahaprabhu. So in Adi Leela, we have elaborate descriptions in the Chaitanya Bhagavat. In the Chaitanya Charitamrita, the childhood pastimes, the boyhood pastimes of Mahaprabhu find relatively brief mention. It is especially in the Madhya Leela and the Anti Leela where the Chaitanya Charitamrita will give us very detailed descriptions. So the Adi Leela information comes from Murari Gupta, from his kadachas, and the later information of the Madhya and the Anti Leelas, they come from the kadachas or the notes of Swarup Damodar. Now, Murari Gupta's notes were written and they are available. But Swarup Damodar's notes were not written. He composed Sanskrit verses about Mahaprabhu's innumerable pastimes in the Madhya Leela and the Anti Leela. And then he taught them to Raghunath Das Goswami. When Raghunath Das Goswami came to Jagannath Puri, finally, by the mercy of Sri Nityananda Prabhu. Of course, it's a pastime in itself of how Raghunath Das Goswami had to struggle to eventually come to Jagannath Puri and attain the shelter of the lotus feet of Sriman Mahaprabhu. But having finally come, Mahaprabhu welcomed him, embraced him, and he gave him for tutelage, for shiksha, to the lotus feet of Swarup Damodar. And he told Swarup Damodar, "Swarup Damodar, you should look after Raghunath. And you should teach him everything that he needs to know." So there are three Raghunaths in Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's Leela. One is Raghunath Das Goswami. The second is Raghunath Bhatta Goswami. And there's also another Raghunath Das. So in order to distinguish between these three Raghunaths, Raghunath Das Goswami has been referred to as Swarup Era Raghunath, the Raghunath of Swarup Damodar. So Raghunath Das became an intimate Shiksha disciple of Swarup Damodar, who would train him on many, many aspects of philosophy as well as devotional practice and etiquette. Sometimes Raghunath Das Goswami would ask Swarup Damodar some questions directly meant for Mahaprabhu. But Raghunath Das would not go and ask them to Mahaprabhu. He would ask through the via medium of Swarup Damodar. So Swarup Damodar would go and place the questions before Mahaprabhu and say, Raghunath Das wishes to ask you these questions. And then Mahaprabhu would answer the questions, and Swarup Damodar would relay the answers back to Raghunath Das. Mahaprabhu was very happy with Raghunath Das's renunciation, and he conveyed that happiness through Swarup Damodar. So Swarup Damodar taught all these Sanskrit verses describing the pastimes of Mahaprabhu in the Madhya and the Antya sections of Mahaprabhu's life, his manifest pastimes. So these he made them memorize. Raghunath Das Goswami, he made them memorize these verses, which Raghunath Das Goswami did. And then when Raghunath Das Goswami came to Vrindavan after Mahaprabhu's departure, disappearance from the world, then he used to speak on these pastimes every day. After Mahaprabhu's disappearance from the world, Raghunath Das Goswami felt it intolerable to live. What to speak of live in Puri, even to just survive. So he resolved within his heart that he would go to Govardhan and jump from Govardhan and commit suicide. But finally, when he came with this determination to Rup and Sanatan Goswamis, they somehow very affectionately diverted him from this resolve. And they said, don't worry, you shouldn't commit suicide. It wouldn't be approved by Mahaprabhu. And live with us like our younger brother. And, you know, we will all serve Mahaprabhu together and serve Radha and Krishna here in Braj together. We have lots of service to do. Somehow or the other, by the affection of Rup and Sanatan Goswamis, he changed his mind. And then every day after moving to Radhakund, he would speak for several hours in the evening on Chaitanya Leela. And specifically he would narrate these verses that Swarup Damodar had composed and taught him. And then he would recite these verses and perhaps elaborate on them. And the Vaishnavas who were living there in Radhakund, they would attend these lectures every evening. Amongst them was Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami. He heard them with rapt attention. And it is not known whether he took notes himself physically or whether he just remembered all of them and memorized them. It was an exceptional effort in any case by Kaviraj Goswami to compile the Chaitanya Charitamrita. Even he says that he is bewildered about how he wrote this book anyway. He says, my body is racked with the pain of disease and old age. I'm bent all over. I'm almost blind, almost deaf. My hands tremble because of old age. It's a wonder that I'm able to write at all. So in this physical condition, he was intellectually, mentally, extremely alert. And his memory must have been fully in place for him to have written down everything that he heard from Raghunath Das Goswami. And thus we have this great book, the Chaitanya Charitamrita, in front of us. So, this is the sequence through which these later pastimes of Mahaprabhu have become available to the whole world. First, Swarup Damodar. He had his kadachas, his verses, his notes that he composed after witnessing and hearing about Mahaprabhu's pastimes. I think you just sit there. It's okay, okay, come, come, come. You know, it just breaks the flow of thought. Yes, so where was I? Yes, so Swarup Damodar spoke these verses, he composed these verses and he taught them to Raghunath. So from Swarup Damodar to Raghunath Das Goswami, from Raghunath Das Goswami to Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami, and from Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami to the whole world via the Chaitanya Charitamrita. So we see the important role that Swarup Damodar played in broadcasting and making available, making known the pastimes of Mahaprabhu to the whole world. And not just those pastimes that were publicly performed by Mahaprabhu in Jagannath Puri. There were so many of them, especially in the Madhya Leela, but also the later pastimes of the Antya Leela. You see, in the Madhya Leela, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would go every day for darshan of Lord Jagannath in the Jagannath temple. He would go for the Rath Yatra festival, the Hera Panchami festival, the Snan Yatra, and all the other festivals that were performed there, that were held there. And he would go there and celebrate them with his devotees. He would congregationally chant the holy names. And he would have discussions with the devotees, sometimes philosophical discussions like he did with Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya. He would engage in very affectionate discussions and give instructions to the devotees who came from Bengal every year, 4 months in a year, in the Chaturmasya season. And in this way, Mahaprabhu had a public profile in the Madhya Leela. As the Antya Leela began, he did associate with his devotees, but his public interactions were lesser. And then as time went on, okay, maybe if you don't mind, if you can just shift a little bit so there's a passage so people can come in. Yeah, sorry, you can leave. Yeah. Maybe you can leave a little passage for people to come and go. Yeah. So as the Antya Leela began, Mahaprabhu started withdrawing more and more within himself. And as the Antya Leela progressed to the Shesha Leela, Shesh means the very final pastimes, just prior to his disappearance, then Mahaprabhu became extremely introverted. He went within himself and he would hardly meet anybody. In these situations, he would just feel intense separation from Krishna. Remember, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is Krishna who has accepted the mood of Srimati Radharani. And what was the mood that she accepted, that he accepted? That specific mood of Srimati Radharani, after Krishna had left Vrindavan and gone to Mathura, and specifically, it was the mood that Uddhava witnessed when he came as a messenger of Krishna to pacify the gopis at the behest of Krishna. Krishna wanted Uddhava to see the glorious devotional service and the unparalleled mood of devotion of the Brajabasis, especially of the gopis. Because in Mathura, Uddhava was the greatest devotee. So when Uddhava went there, he was struck with wonder. He saw devotion and a mood that he never imagined could have existed. And Uddhava is not just an ordinary devotee. So when he met the gopis, and especially when he met Srimati Radharani, she had a certain mood of separation. And this has been described by Shukadev Goswami in the 10th canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam. Her soliloquies, you know, soliloquies when she speaks to herself. Or she goes into these trances and talks to a bumblebee. And Uddhava was probably witnessing all of these and he was amazed to see that. So the mood that Srimati Radharani had at this time was especially the mood that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu accepted. And as the, even during the Madhya Leela, when he was in his quarters in the Gambhira, he was alone. At night, when all the other devotees were away taking rest, he had his intimate associates, Swarup Damodar and Ramananda Rai, with him. And he would give vent to his feelings of separation and ask them, "Where is Krishna? Where is Krishna?" And then Swarup Damodar and Ramananda Rai would recite verses from the Bhagavatam and from various other devotional compositions by great Vaishnava poets. Specifically, Kaviraj Goswami mentions Chandidas. Chandi means Kali. So Chandidas, the name implies he's a servant of Kali, but actually he was a servant of Radharani and Krishna. Chandidas was just his name. But actually he was a very, very exalted devotee of Radha and Krishna. So Chandidas's compositions are very famous amongst Gaudiya Vaishnavas. Chandidas, the second was Vidyapati, who wrote in the Maithili language, also another great devotee. Then the compositions of Ramananda Rai, he composed some dramas, and Mahaprabhu would hear that. Ramananda would recite his own compositions. Then there was the Krishna Karanamrita of Bilva Mangal Thakur, another great magnum opus of Bilva Mangal, something that Mahaprabhu loved to hear. One time I met a gentleman in India after giving a class, elderly man. First time I was seeing him there, and he came up and started talking and said the goal of his life was to understand Krishna Karanamrita. It was nice. It is nice to hear people who have such ambitions in life rather than just make money and be a big person in life. So anyway, Krishna Karanamrita of Bilva Mangal, and sometimes maybe other topics from the Srimad Bhagavatam. So they would recite these verses, and the blazing fire of separation that Mahaprabhu was experiencing in his heart was somewhat pacified. But he wouldn't sleep all night. And these phases of feeling separation, he would always feel them, but at night they would increase. In public, he would always control himself. And whenever these symptoms somehow or the other forcefully emerged, he would again subdue them. But at night, he allowed them to flow freely. But even these nocturnal expressions of separation from Krishna grew intense as the time went by. And in the Antya Leela and further in the Shesha Leela, these became so intense that it was unbearable. And at that time, he would not go out. He would hardly meet anybody. And it was only Swarup Damodar and Ramananda Rai who would be with him at this time. And they would constantly sing and chant these kinds of verses to pacify him. Sometimes Swarup Damodar would sing as well. So these were the intimate services performed by Swarup Damodar. So he not only knew about the publicly performed pastimes by Mahaprabhu, but he also knew these very, very private pastimes. And these pastimes, of course, have not been revealed in their entirety by Swarup Damodar because they are too confidential and not meant perhaps for people in general. But he did give us a glimpse into some of these pastimes, which we will find in the Antya Leela. So these were the verses composed by Swarup Damodar in his Kadachas and which were taught to Raghunath Das Goswami, which eventually found their way into the Chaitanya Charitamrita through Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami. So we see that even though Swarup Damodar's Kadachas are not physically available, the Chaitanya Charitamrita contains their essence. So this is the crucial and vital role that Swarup Damodar played in revealing Mahaprabhu's purpose and pastimes. In the verse that we read today, Srila Prabhupada in the first paragraph, describes briefly the life of Swarup Damodar. And he says here that prior to coming to Jagannath Puri, Swarup Damodar was known as Purushottam Bhattacharya or Purushottam Acharya. And he lived in Navadvip. And he desired to enter the renounced order of life. Actually, he was born elsewhere. I think his father's name was Padmagarbha Acharya, if I'm not mistaken. His mother's name is not known. But after his child was born, that is, after Swarup Damodar was born, his father wanted to go to Banaras, Kashi, and Mithila to study the Vedic scriptures further. So he left his wife and their son at the home of her parents. Shri Radha Gokulananda ki jai. Shri Shri Sita Ram Lakshman Hanuman ki jai. Shri Shri Gaur Nithai ki jai. So he left them at her parents' home in Navadvip, which is why Swarup Damodar grew up in the home of his maternal grandfather in Navadvip. So he was present there when Mahaprabhu, as Nimai Pandit, performed his pastimes there. And then he also witnessed that remarkable transformation in Mahaprabhu's personality when he came back from Gaya, a completely intoxicated devotee, always chanting the name of Krishna and feeling intense separation from Krishna. When Mahaprabhu took sannyas, however, this became unbearable for Swarup Damodar. He was still known as Purushottam Acharya at this time. But not being able to bear this, he left Navadvip and went to Varanasi, to Banaras. And there, he became a brahmachari in the community of Dashanami sannyasis. Dasha means 10, Nami means those who have that name. So Dashanami sannyasis are those sannyasis who have any one of 10 names. Vishnu Swami, the great Acharya of the Vishnu Swami Sampradaya, even before Shankaracharya, he had these 1000 plus names, sannyas titles. Shankaracharya, who came after Vishnu Swami, selected from amongst them especially 10 names. And he gave it to his followers. And these are the elite sannyas names. There are other names as well, which may not be so elite. So even among sannyasis, there was an elite sannyas sampradaya, there was a not so elite sampradaya, and so on. So the elite sannyas titles were the Dashanami sannyasis, like Tirtha, Ashram, and so on. So every sannyasi has to have a title. It may be an ashram or Tirtha and Aranya and so on, many, many names. Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur chose from a list of 108 names. So he would give his sannyasis these titles, amongst which sannyas, Swami and Goswami are two titles. So Srila Prabhupada in ISKCON mostly gave only these two titles, Swami and Goswami, out of the 108. And in any case, the Dashanami sannyasis were mostly Mayavadi sannyasis in Banaras. So a sannyasi is always supposed to have a brahmachari assistant. So depending on the sannyas title, the brahmachari who comes and serves under that sannyasi is also given a title that is specific to that sannyas title. So connected to, I think it was Ashram or Tirtha, I don't remember now, was the title Swarupa. So Swarupa was a brahmachari name. And he got the name Damodar Swarup, which is a brahmachari name. And then finally he took sannyas from Sri Chaitanyananda Bharati. But he did not complete the sannyas formalities. There are various requirements for one who takes sannyas. The formality, there are many rituals involved. For example, you have to do 8 kind of Shraddha ceremonies. You know, because now you're giving up all your connections with the world. You're dead to the world, so to speak. So you have to disconnect yourself from all your worldly relatives and family and so on. So you do your Shraddha ceremony once and for all, because you're not going to do it anymore once you take sannyas. In family life, yes, you're supposed to do that. But once you take sannyas, you don't do it. So he did all of those things. He accepted those rituals and formalities. And then he also shaved off his shikha, and he also gave up his sacred thread, which Mayavadi sannyasis do. Tridandi sannyasis don't do that. The Vaishnava sannyasis don't do that. There is a verse in the Skanda Purana, which is quoted in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, in which it is said that the Tridandi sannyasi should keep the sacred thread and the shikha, the tuft of hair at the back of the head. The Mayavadi sannyasis, however, at the time of taking sannyas, shave off the shikha. As brahmacharis, they keep the shikha. But when they take sannyas, they shave it off and they also give up the sacred thread. So sometimes we were asked by sannyasis, you know, why do you keep your shikha? They see us with a danda and we have a shikha, so they are puzzled. They say, you're not supposed to have this. Do you also keep your sacred thread? You say, yes. So they say, no, you should take it off. But that is for the Mayavadis. For the Tridandi sannyasis, the Vaishnava sannyasis, these two are maintained. So anyway, these rituals, which is the shaving of the tuft of hair, the shikha, giving up of the sacred thread, the doing of Shraddha, these rituals were accepted by Purushottamacharya, by Swarup Damodar. But the other parts of the sannyas ritual, acceptance ritual, he did not do. He did not accept the yoga patta, which is a saffron cloth of the sannyasi. He continued to wear white. The second thing, he didn't accept the sannyas danda, the staff. And third, he didn't accept a sannyas name. He retained his brahmachari name Swarupa. And the previous name was Damodar. So Damodar Swarup. And why did he do this? Srila Prabhupada explains in the purports that he wanted to remain humble. He felt that taking on a sannyas title, taking on sannyas cloth, holding the sannyas danda would be a challenge. And it would be difficult to keep humble with this. And people would offer respects and so on. So he didn't take that. The second reason for his not doing, completing the formalities was, he didn't care for it. He said, my duty, I want to go and take shelter of Mahaprabhu at Navadvip. I want to be absorbed in Krishna's pastimes and to serve Mahaprabhu. What has the sannyas got to do with it? It's all the external formality. It's just a disturbance. Yes? So I don't care for the sannyas order. So he says, in some kind of madness, I went through part of the rituals. Yes? And then I realized, what's the point of it? So he just gave it up. And he came and, half completing his sannyas rituals, and he came to Navadvip and took shelter of Mahaprabhu there. Incidentally, Mahaprabhu also gave a similar reason for taking sannyas. And he said, you know, I don't know what happened to me. In a fit of madness, I also went and took sannyas. What to do? I did it. And he was apologizing to the devotees, you know. So anyway, Swarup Damodar also, in that kind of transcendental madness, he half went through the sannyas rituals. And then he came here to Jagannath Puri to be with Mahaprabhu. So when he came there, Mahaprabhu was already in his Madhya Leela. After taking sannyas at a place called Katwa, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, in a trance of ecstatic devotion, wanted to go to Vrindavan. But then he was prevented. He said, no, 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 you're not supposed to go to Vrindavan. You know, you please go back. Your time for going to Vrindavan will come later. Now you have a service to do. So then he went back. And then he discussed with the devotees and decided that he would live in Jagannath Puri because that was what his mother, Sachi Mata, suggested. So he did that. So he came to Jagannath Puri, stayed there for a short while, and then decided to go on pilgrimage to the holy places in South India. So he departed. Nityananda Prabhu arranged for a servant to accompany him, who was Kala Krishna Das. So Mahaprabhu went to South India. He traveled by foot to many, many places, came back through Western India, back to Jagannath Puri. So the whole time it must have taken him, I think, probably 2 years or so, I think. And then he came back. And Nityananda Prabhu sent Kala Krishna Das, who had some interesting episodes in South India, and Mahaprabhu didn't want him anymore because he got into some very awkward situations there in South India. And so Mahaprabhu didn't want to have him anymore. But the devotees of the Lord are more merciful than the Lord. So they somehow kept Kala Krishna Das engaged in some service. So Nityananda Prabhu sent Kala Krishna Das to Bengal to inform the devotees that Mahaprabhu had returned to Jagannath Puri. So then Paramananda Puri and one or two other devotees, not one or two, maybe a few more, they came to Jagannath Puri. And by this time when the word spread, other devotees from Bengal also started coming. It was at this time that Damodar Swarup, or Swarup Damodar, he decided to come to Jagannath Puri. So he came there and joined Mahaprabhu in his pastimes there. He was welcomed personally by Mahaprabhu with a warm embrace. He met all the other devotees there, Paramananda Puri, Jagadananda, etc., offered them obeisances. He met Ramananda Rai later when he came with the king, Prataparudra. And then Swarup Damodar just settled there and never left after that. He remained with Mahaprabhu till his final days there. So before we go on to some of the other pastimes of Swarup Damodar, I'll go to another point that Srila Prabhupada mentions in the purport here, which is the identity of Swarup Damodar in Vraja Leela. As I mentioned at the beginning of the talk, the eternal associates of Sri Krishna in Goloka Vrindavan, they descend along with the Lord to assist him in his pastimes. And the intimate eternal associates of the Lord in Gaur Leela also are actually some associates in Vraja Leela, in Goloka Vrindavan. So who was Swarup Damodar in Vraja Leela? Now, as Prabhupada mentions here, that Swarup Damodar has been identified as Lalita Devi, Lalita Sakhi. But interesting, this is the prevalent opinion in the Gaudiya Vaishnava Sampradaya. But there is a bit of a variation here rather, because in the Gaura Ganodesha Deepika of Kavi Karnapur, Swarup Damodar is mentioned as Vishakha Devi. So there's a bit of a controversy here in the Gaudiya Vaishnava Sampradaya. Is Swarup Damodar Goswami actually Lalita Sakhi or is he Vishakha Sakhi? And even though the Gaura Ganodesha Deepika of Kavi Karnapur is considered a very authoritative text, very bona fide, this is one point where the broad Gaudiya Vaishnava opinion differs from Kavi Karnapur's opinion. And even though Kavi Karnapur says that Swarup Damodar is Vishakha Devi, the broad Gaudiya Vaishnava opinion is that he is actually Lalita Sakhi. So these things happen at those levels. We just fold our hands and whatever you say. It's not for us to question why he said like this, why did he say like that. Yes, whatever you say. What do we know, Lalita Sakhi? Who is Lalita Vishakha? So we just fall at the feet of these great Vaishnavas and just accept what they say. So Prabhupada concludes by saying, therefore it is to be understood that Sri Swarup Damodar is a direct expansion of Radharani, who helps the Lord experience the attitude of Radharani. So that is why he comes in this intimate association with Mahaprabhu. And another interesting point which is mentioned in the Chaitanya Bhagavat and which is commented on by Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, which is that Paramananda Puri, who I talked about earlier, who was much older than Mahaprabhu, he related to Mahaprabhu in the mood of parental affection, in Vatsalya Ras. And there was Govinda, his personal servant, who related to him in Dasya Ras. Then there was Ramananda Rai, who related to Mahaprabhu in the Ras of friendship, in the Sakya Ras. And then there was Gadadhar Pandit, Jagadananda Pandit, and Swarup Damodar, who related to Mahaprabhu in the Madhurya Ras. Very interesting point. So this is very much part of the actual evidence. Now Swarup Damodar was an exceptionally talented singer. In singing he was as good as a Gandharva, it is mentioned by Kaviraj Goswami. In scholarship of the scriptures, he was as good as Brihaspati, the guru of the demigods. Swarup Damodar's singing was so sweet that Mahaprabhu would actually fall unconscious. He would lose his external consciousness when Swarup Damodar started singing. Raghunath Bhatta Goswami was an exceptionally sweet reciter of the Srimad Bhagavatam. Mahaprabhu would go to Raghunath Bhatta Goswami in Jagannath Puri, and for hours together he would hear, and other devotees would gather as well, where Raghunath Bhatta Goswami would recite the verses of the Srimad Bhagavatam melodiously and in many different melodies. Each verse he would chant in different melodies. And all the devotees, including Sriman Mahaprabhu, would float in waves of ecstasy as they heard this recitation of the Bhagavatam and the explanations from Raghunath Bhatta Goswami. And equally, Mahaprabhu would be very, very influenced by the singing, the sweet singing of Swarup Damodar. Sometimes he would sing the holy names, and sometimes he would sing from the compositions of the great devotees that I mentioned earlier, like Chandidas, Bilva Mangal Thakur, etc. In this way, Swarup Damodar rendered great service to Sriman Mahaprabhu in these pastimes. You see, one of the very intimate ways of serving an elevated Vaishnava, or any Vaishnava actually, is to make that person remember Krishna deeply, even more deeply than they're already remembering. What comes to mind is are the departure pastimes of Madhavendra Puri. Ramachandra Khan, one of his disciples, was latently an impersonalist, and he actually blasphemed his own guru, Madhavendra Puri, because Madhavendra Puri was lamenting in separation from Krishna. And Ramachandra Puri couldn't understand these sentiments, so he criticized him. But Ishwara Puri was not like that. Ishwara Puri would sit next to Madhavendra Puri. He would not only render all sorts of menial bodily services to him, but he would also recite Krishna's pastimes. He would recite beautiful verses from the scriptures. And Madhavendra Puri felt so blissful being reminded of Krishna like this. It pacified his sense of separation from Krishna. The burning fire of separation was satiated to some degree. So he heartily blessed Ishwar Puri to become an ocean of love for Krishna. So similarly, Swarup Damodar and Ramananda Rai would render this invaluable, very, very intimate service to Mahaprabhu, which nobody else did. And he would then recite these verses. And when Mahaprabhu was feverish in separation, at that time he would pacify him and Mahaprabhu would again be a little more relaxed and was able to at least be normal, as normal was possible for Mahaprabhu in those phases of remembrance of Krishna. There are many other pastimes as well, but time does not permit us to narrate further, especially Mahaprabhu, Swarup Damodar's pastimes, Raghunath Das Goswami, and other pastimes with Bhagavan Acharya and so on, because we have to discuss something about Shivananda Sen as well. So in the few minutes, I'd like to briefly summarize the glories of this great associate of Mahaprabhu, Shivananda Sen. He was a Grihastha devotee, amongst the leading Grihastha associates of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, way up there in the hierarchy of the Grihastha devotees, along with Advaita Acharya and Srivas Thakur and so on. He came from the caste of Vaidyas. Vaidyas means doctors, physicians, not Brahmanas. And Mahaprabhu had many, many associates who were not from Brahmin birth. And he arranged that so that the people of the world would understand that the birth or the family in which one takes birth is not an important consideration for devotional service. It is not a qualification, materially speaking. Whatever family one is born in, maybe a so-called Brahmana family, so-called this or that family, doesn't matter. So he, Shivananda Sen, has been described by his own son, Kavi Karnapur, in the Gaura Ganodesha Deepika, as being Veera Duti, who was a go-between, between Krishna and the gopis. You see, in Goloka Vrindavan, there is a very elaborate arrangement to facilitate Krishna's pastimes with Srimati Radharani and the gopis. And there are specially chosen personalities who act as facilitators and also as couriers and via media messengers who will take messages from Krishna to the gopis, from gopis, you know, to Krishna. And somehow there are all sorts of very complex arrangements go on. So the Veera Duti was one of such go-between messengers in Vrajalila. And Veera Duti has come as Shivananda Sen. He had three sons, all exalted devotees. One was Sri Chaitanya Das. The other was Sri Ram Das. And the other was Sri Paramananda. The third son, Paramananda, was also later known as Kavi Karnapur. And Sri Paramananda was lovingly called as Puri Das by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in Jagannath Puri. Mahaprabhu showered his blessings and mercy not only upon Shivananda Sen, but also his entire family. When Shivananda Sen brought Puri Das, who was just a baby, to Mahaprabhu in Jagannath Puri from Bengal, Mahaprabhu allowed Puri Das to suck his toe, his lotus toe. Can you imagine such a fortune? And he jokingly called him Puri Das. So he had three names: Paramananda, which was the name given by Shivananda Sen; Puridas, the name that he was jokingly called by Mahaprabhu, and later he became known as Kavi Karnapur, and he was the author of the famous Gaura Ganodesha Deepika. One time when Shivananda Sen's son, Puridas, grew up a little bit, Mahaprabhu called him and said, "Chant Krishna, say Krishna, Krishna." And this boy just kept mum. He wouldn't open his mouth. Mahaprabhu repeatedly tried to induce him to chant Krishna's names. "Speak, speak, why don't you speak? Say, chant Krishna." But the child was adamant. He would not open his mouth. Finally, Mahaprabhu threw up his hands in frustration. And he said to the assembled devotees, "I have made everyone in the world chant Krishna's name. Even the animals have chanted at my saying so. But this boy does not chant Krishna. I wonder why." And then it was Swarup Damodar, who was nearby, who said, "I think I know the reason." "So what is the reason?" Mahaprabhu asked him. He said, "You have already given him the mantra. And the mantra given by the guru is a very confidential mantra. And it is not to be declared to anyone else." Elsewhere, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur mentions that the confidential mantras given by the guru, if revealed to other people, lose their potency. So they have to be taken again then from the guru, just as it happened in the case of Gadadhar Pandit and Pundarik Vidyanidhi. He had to take the mantra again. So Swarup Damodar said that this boy has received the mantra from you, and now because there are so many people present here, he will not say it publicly, but he repeats it in his mind. So he is saying, he is following your instruction, but only in the mind. And everyone was struck with wonder. Another time, he composed a verse on the spot, and Mahaprabhu was also struck with wonder to see the beauty of this verse about Krishna. So Mahaprabhu blessed the family of Shivananda Sen very much. He was a very worldly wise grihastha as well. Not only was he an exalted Vaishnava, but he had a lot of worldly wisdom. This combination is not so easy to find. You see, you may have somebody who may be worldly wise, but not such an exalted devotee. Somebody may be an exalted devotee, but may not understand how to handle the world. Yes? But Shivananda Sen was a combination of both. And therefore, Mahaprabhu one time called him when he was talking to this devotee called Vasudev Datta and said, "Look, Shivananda, this Vasudev Datta doesn't know how to handle his money. You know, whatever money he gets, he immediately spends it in the same day. If he continues like this, how will he be able to maintain his wife and his family, his children? So you must teach him how to manage his money. You must teach him the importance of earning a livelihood as a grihastha. And he must also save some money." Now generally, just see, who's speaking this? Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is speaking this. The same Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is teaching us surrender to Krishna. Yes? So for a grihastha, it's important that there must be some means of livelihood. There must be some saving. It's coming from the very lotus mouth of Sriman Mahaprabhu. So please teach him how to handle money. Please teach him, manage his affairs for him, because he's not capable of doing it. So you manage his financial affairs for him and teach him how he should live within this world. And then Shivananda Sen dutifully did that. The most important thing for which Shivananda Sen is known is that he was the manager of the yatra of the devotees when they went every year from Bengal to Puri in the Chaturmasya period. Every year, the devotees of Bengal would earn their livelihood for 8 months, and then for 4 months, they would go to Puri to be with Mahaprabhu. So, Shivananda Sen was the main organizer and the manager and the financier of this yatra. He knew all the roads, including the internal roads from Bengal to Puri. And he would also get everybody together, give them instructions. He would arrange the lodging, the boarding. He would pay for it. He would also pay for the customs duties and the ferry and the toll taxes, and you had to cross the rivers, the boatman's charges, and all of these things he would manage. He was an expert manager. And he would manage all these things very nicely. So all the devotees used to be indebted to him because he would manage everything so nicely. And one time, there was a dog that accompanied the devotee party as it was moving. And the dog would not leave the devotees. Many devotees may have tried to shoo away the dog, but the dog remained there. So Shivananda Sen understood that this dog is not an ordinary dog. He's a Vaishnava. So he allowed the dog to remain. And at one time, when they were about to cross a river, the boatman refused to take the dog on board. But Shivananda Sen paid him the charges for the dog, just like he would for another human being. And then the dog was on board. And then as they were walking further, when they reached the other side of the river, somehow or the other, the dog could not be found. Maybe the devotees went somewhere, the dog got left behind, or something happened. And Shivananda Sen became very grief-stricken and anxious. And he sent out the devotees everywhere to look for this dog. But they could not find this dog. So with a heavy heart, Shivananda Sen resumed the journey to Jagannath Puri. They reached Puri. Even before they took darshan of Lord Jagannath, they came to have darshan of Mahaprabhu. They had prasadam there. They went back to their lodging. And they came back the next day to see Mahaprabhu. And at that time, Shivananda Sen was amazed to see the same dog who was now with Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And Mahaprabhu was feeding him with his own hands coconut pulp, prasadam. And the dog was lapping it up from Mahaprabhu's own hands. And the next day, the dog was nowhere to be seen. And Kaviraj Goswami says in the Chaitanya Charitamrita that the dog attained to the spiritual world. Sriman Mahaprabhu personally sent this dog to the spiritual world. Now the main reason for that was because this dog had received the mercy of Shivananda Sen. Now that doesn't mean that you should keep a dog at home. Yes, that's one thing that's not recommended. Yes, we protect the animals, we are merciful to them, we feed them, we can do everything to them, but not keep them at home. But that's the topic in itself. So anyways, so this was one very nice pastime that happened. And Shivananda Sen had another pastime. I'll conclude with one last pastime. There was a devotee called Nakula Brahmachari. Now, Sriman Mahaprabhu had personally entered into Nakula Brahmachari's heart. And therefore, Nakula Brahmachari's external appearance, as well as his mood, his attitude, his behavior, was like Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And he was like a Chintamani touchstone, where anyone who came in contact with him would become an ecstatic lover of Krishna. And thousands of people flocked to him. The word about his devotional prowess spread far and wide. The news also came to the ears of Shivananda Sen. And Shivananda Sen began to doubt, is it really true that people say that Mahaprabhu has entered into Nakula Brahmachari's heart? I think it's an exaggeration. So he said, let me test it out. Let me go and see. So he went there. And hundreds of people had gathered around Nakula Brahmachari, and Shivananda Sen was sitting far away. He could not see Nakula Brahmachari, Nakula Brahmachari could not see him. So he sat far away and said, "Let me see. Nakula Brahmachari cannot see me now. But if he calls out for me now, knowing that I have come here, then I will understand that he is specially empowered by Mahaprabhu. And what's more, when he calls me, he must tell me the mantra that I am chanting." And right then, Nakula Brahmachari called out, "Go, where is Shivananda? Where is Shivananda?" So all the devotees went looking here and there for Shivananda, and they found him, and they brought him to Nakula Brahmachari. So Shivananda was struck with wonder. The first test was he had passed it. Now the second test. As soon as Shivananda Sen came in front of Nakula Brahmachari, he said, "You are chanting the four-syllable Gaur Gopal mantra." And Shivananda Sen was looking on in amazement. And now he was convinced that what everybody was saying was true, that indeed Mahaprabhu had entered into the heart of Nakula Brahmachari and had empowered him. So what was the four-syllable Gaur Gopal mantra? Radha Krishna. Yes, four syllables. And Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur and Srila Prabhupada also comment that because Radha Krishna is not different from Gauranga Mahaprabhu, so you could also say that this four-syllable Gaur Gopal mantra is Gauranga. Gauranga. So the Gauranga is also the Gaur Gopal mantra. Radha Krishna also is the Gaur Gopal mantra. So this was the mantra Shivananda Sen had been chanting in his mind, and Nakula Brahmachari understood that. And Shivananda Sen was convinced about the glories of Nakula Brahmachari. So we'll stop here because these are exalted souls. They have so many pastimes. In the Chaitanya Charitamrita, Srila Kaviraj Goswami has mentioned many, many other nice pastimes. I would invite you to read them. Of course, nowadays we have the internet. You can go there and Google Shivananda Sen, Swarup Damodar, and you'll hear and read many, many wonderful pastimes in connection with these two exalted souls. Shri Swarup Damodar Goswami ki jai. Shri Shivananda Sen ki jai. Shri Jagannath Ratha Yatra Mahotsav ki jai. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Gaur Premanande. Hare Krishna. Thank you very much. Hari Bol. Hare Krishna.